What's up, Uso? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. Again, to the Financial Times, the article about Russia's new foreign policy. It reads, while Russia's new foreign policy strategy acknowledges the U.S.'s role as a, quote, influential development center, it portrays Washington as, quote, the organizer and executor of anti-Russian policy of the collective West. It marks a sharp contrast to the last doctrine, which expressed a desire to build working relations with the U.S. Now this paragraph. According to the concept, China and India are seen as friendly, sovereign global centers of power that share Russia's view of the future world order. In quotes, Iran, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt are also seen as key allies. Professor, I was gobsmacked when I read this. A very strange list, but it's the Russian list. So let's focus on India. Russia sees India as a friendly, sovereign, global center of power. What is India's point of view about this unusual appeal from Moscow?
Well, I think that in New Delhi, they've been through a lot. Remember that they had the Nehru dynasty in control, certainly within living memory, and they have, while nobody was looking, they have developed very productive agriculture. They export food. China imports food constantly. They have a lot of very educated people. They have terrible poverty in places, but so do we, and so certainly does China and Russia. But I think that there are two things that I think. First, I think it's a mistake to think that India sees things the way the Russians do. I think that the current administration in India regrets very much the degree of reliance on Russia the Nehru dynasty established. And if you look at, say, but yet they also understand, I think they have a great deal of confidence and pride in their system, which is pretty darn good for a country with the kind of enormous population and lack of natural endowments and so forth that India faces. But I don't think I think they view themselves very much as being a politically advanced, a democratic country. And people point out that it isn't quite that, but look at how there are think tanks in sort of Scandinavia that rate who has the best democracy. And the United States, we're usually somewhere, you know, between, we're in the 20s or in the 10s. Certainly what I see of our politics, I don't find it very attractive, although I think we're indispensable and we have a lot of potential, and at our best, we can do well. But there are two things about India that I should mention that I think are going to help her a lot. First, India is a politically stable state. You may remember that black day, October 31st, 1984, way back, I guess, before most Americans living today had been born. But then the then ruler of India was Indira Gandhi, who was, of course, Pandit Nehru's daughter. And she was cracking down on the Sikhs in Amritsar in Punjab, and she had her army kind of shooting at the Sikhs around the Golden Temple, which is their holy of holies. And I had a student at that time who was the officer of the day on that day, October 31st, 1988, where he's the officer of the day at the prime minister's office. And I don't remember what time it was in the day, but the bodyguard of Mrs. Gandhi, who was a Sikh, and he wasn't very happy with what she was doing to his sacred city or to his people, just took his AK-47 or whatever, and he emptied it into Mrs. Gandhi. And that was the end of her, and as it turned out, of really of the Nehru dynasty. But what my student impressed on me, and what I was also impressed by, was that in India, all he did as officer of the day was call up somebody and say, look, the prime minister has been shot dead. You know, we've got to move everybody around according to what the Constitution says. So they lost Mrs. Gandhi, but there was no internal war in India. There was no political crisis. And in fact, the Sikhs, who are they're settled in a way. They have settled. They felt secure enough that they have settled mixed with all the populations in India, whereas some groups like the Muslims and the Hindus keep themselves in different parts of cities, but the Sikhs are all over the place. So they really have a lot to fear if there should be a pogrom or something, because they can't just sort of close the gates to the ghetto or call out all the guys and block the streets, because they're just mixed in with everybody. But in fact, nothing at all happened. The other point that must be stressed is that India is a nuclear power, and they have done the best job of anybody since the United States, and we had six European-born physicists, five of whom were Jewish, and one of whom, Fermi, was married to a Jewish woman who Hitler sent over here to help us with our bomb program. And then we had Oppenheimer, whose father had come. We invented the bomb, and then Stalin got it from us before Truman even knew it existed. But I was in India in May 1998, what was called Pokhran 2, when the Indians detonated their H-bomb. And I met a number of people, including the then president of India, who was a famous physicist, and I met the man who did the H-bomb. And I also had some very good talks with the defense minister, George Fernandez, who is one of the most impressive people I've ever met. He deceased in 2019, but he's just the most remarkable man, and he was always opposed to the Nehru dynasty. So now we have a completely different political orientation in India. But for geopolitical reasons, they have to keep Russia and China apart. Because if Russia and China get together, then India is going to be the one that's going to be squeezed. Right now, no one knows how to deal with India. What's the fact that India is a nuclear power, is growing economically and so forth, is just a source of complete astonishment to the Chinese, who always underestimated the Indians, even though, of course, the Buddhism was brought from India to China, and the various sutras that are in Chinese, they're all translated from Sanskrit. And the United States also was not too quick on the uptake about where India could go, but I suspect that India is going to be because she is a democracy, and because if you want to make a career in politics there, you have to get elected to the legislature. And that means you have to spend time, God forbid, in the countryside telling all of these wretched peasants, you know, by gaslight, that they should vote for you rather than the next guy who's going to come and see them the next night. And if they don't vote for you, then you can't go and be in the parliament. That means that they are very much focused on domestic politics, and they're not going to try to project domestic problems into the international arena as a way of taking the pressure off internally. Whereas in China, as in Russia, internal political problems are really the source of external aggression and slightly or very, very irrational behavior. So I think that India is going to turn out to be what everybody thought that China was going to be, namely, in the words of, what's his name? Anyway, a responsible stakeholder. This poor guy, he's very well known. He's a very smart guy. But he will be known forever as the person who said China was going to be a responsible stakeholder, which is the exact opposite of what China's turned out to be. I think India is much more likely to be a huge, highly productive, militarily very powerful country that is also sort of normal and where speech is free and decisions are made perhaps in a kind of a cumbersome way. But I think the Indian strategists have got a better sense of what's coming in the world, I think, than the people in our country who write about strategy. I have a lot of respect for them. And as I said, I knew Fernandez fairly well. I mean, he was as smart as they come.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, generously commenting on six capitals, six points of view, and Moscow believing that India is a friendly power puzzle. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.